You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And I am Allison Renborg in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you're listening to the monthly Equine Affair episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 16th. This episode is brought to you by Equine Affair. Good morning, horse world.
It's the third Thursday of the month. That means it's time for the Equine Affair episode, North America's premier equine expo and equestrian gathering.
Well, it's the A-plus squad back together again. I'm here with Ashley today. Yay!
Yay! We love you, Glenn, but we also love hanging out, so we don't really miss you.
Yeah! Poor Glenn.
Oh, poor Glenn. Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, he has all the fun. We have fun too, Glenn. See?
That, oh my gosh, he's going to be so mad when he listens to how great this episode is, because we have really fun guests today.
We absolutely do. And I knew the minute I booked the second guest today that he was going to be mad at me because I was going to do it with Ashley, but he'll just get the pleasure of listening to it now. And it's incredible.
Sometimes, you know, I have to wonder, Glenn, he makes all these shows, runs Horse Radio Network. He has to enjoy just sitting back and eating popcorn sometimes, you know?
He's got to. Absolutely. Yeah. He eats popcorn, right?
Who knows? Anyway, I do know that you and Glenn got to catch up at Equine Affair in Ohio. I sadly missed out on this one, but I have all of my evil plans in work for coming to next year's Ohio Equine Affair.
Absolutely. And I know that Glenn, he had the best time. We had a great time together, but then every time I saw him, he was just beaming because he had just run into another listener or another auditor. And he told me later that I think that was the most listeners and auditors he's ever encountered at one event before.
Yeah, that's what he had mentioned, the same to me. And it's just, you know, it's so neat. Like, I got to meet our auditors on the cruise earlier in the year, and it's like meeting all of your friends from summer camp is the best way I can explain it. It's just like, oh my gosh, you like what I like. We're best friends. It's so energizing. And I know that he was absolutely flying high, feeling the love at Equine Affair.
Absolutely. And I think that hopefully that solidified his plans to come back next year. So yes, you can come with him and we'll all have a ball.
Absolutely.
Because I, gosh knows, I love having him there. It's so much fun for me. We put out three shows, and I told him, and I think I said this at the time, it's the one time of day where I get to sit down for like an hour and a half. So I love it.
I bet you get to catch up on your rest. You must have gotten mad steps in, I have to imagine.
I did. I wore my smartwatch that I had gotten for Christmas pretty much just to wear at Equine Affair because I was curious. And it's also just nice to have a watch on. But yeah, I got in some serious steps over the 4 days. Well, five or six counting setup and all that. But I'm running all the time, all day long. And so Glenn's always worried, like, are you sure we can steal you away from your stuff for the recording? And I'm like, yes, you can. You definitely can.
It's have a chair ready for me.
I can drink my coffee and actually finish it while we're doing the podcast. It's great. But we had the best time. We had so many great guests and ran into so many listeners. And it always cracked me up. I was standing in the front of his booth at one point, and he had ducked behind the curtain to look at electric. And someone came up and they were looking for Glenn. And I said, yeah, he's right here. And she said, oh, is that him? And she's like pointing at his back. And I'm going, yeah, that's him.
Don't look for the man behind the curtain.
I felt like a celebrity's assistant. Yeah. Like, yeah, Glenn, he's just right here. He'll be right back.
I felt the same thing when we were at a conference in January. It was hysterical because when he would take his cowboy hat off, it was like he was in incognito mode. Nobody recognized him.
Yeah. Incognito. Okay. So we've got Glenn and then we've got Glenn Incognito.
That's right. We need some kind of name for when he isn't in the cowboy hat for his his alter personality.
So there's Glenn and then there's Lynn.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Undercover.
Undercover. Yeah. But no, it was the best time. And if you come next year, we'll have way too much fun. They'll have to like put a cap on it, Ashley.
Guaranteed. Like, guaranteed.
The three of us together will have a ball. But it was a great event. I was sharing with Ashley before the show. This is the first event where I felt like I finally, it all coalesced and came together. And I felt like I had it before getting there. And so it was such a great show. Everything went super, super smoothly. And then afterward, there's nothing like ending a good show and just going, yeah, that was a good one.
I mean, you're 100% right. As someone in events, like that doesn't even happen. So the fact that you felt ahead of it and it was great and you ended with a great feeling, that just props to you, girlfriend. That goes to show job well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it was great. And I'm not even really panicking about Massachusetts. I'm still feeling pretty good about Ohio and prepping for Massachusetts, but like not in panic mode yet. So this is sort of my happiest time of year.
You just ride that wave, girlfriend.
As far and as long as I can.
That's right. Right to shore.
Until I crash into the beach and get sand in my face. That's what it feels like. but yeah, so we had so many great highlights. You guys who were listening or who were there, you know, but we had these amazing stagecoach rides with John May of May Farm Activities. If you got to ride the stagecoach, I got to ride it. I didn't think I was going to get to. So Ashley, we had this amazing old-fashioned stagecoach there, and it was pulled by two gigantic Percherons and driven by John May, and you could, for an extra little fee, ride around the Ohio Expo Center in the stagecoach.
I mean, take my money. Are you kidding me?
I was in it, and I was just like, I wish I could get married again.
I was going to, did you practice your, like, you know, Queen of England wave? Like, oh, hello.
It was big enough for a wedding dress too, though. So like, you know, but yes, you do your wave when you wear your big dress and your crown and you step out. It was the best.
What better way to get around an expo? I mean, I think John May needs to go to every expo. This is a great idea.
I loved it. And I didn't think I was going to get to do it. My husband was there and he was doing video for me, and we had talked like, maybe we can steal like 5 minutes and go on a stagecoach ride together, which of course, yeah, right. Like we barely have 5 minutes to eat together. And then I think Sunday afternoon, Kogi texted me and said, hey, the staff are getting to go on a stagecoach ride. Are you in the middle of something? And I'm like, nope. And we ran and we got to ride in the stagecoach.
I mean, that's your boss telling you. You have, right? That's work at that point.
It was part of my job.
You can't say no.
Had to do it.
Yeah. You know, we're grateful to you, Allison, that you're out there working hard for us. We love to see it.
I will share this. So Lori Helsel, who is she wears more hats than I do, but she's our business manager, I guess is her biggest hat. But at the events, she is stuck in the show office all day, handling the phones, handling ticket orders, whatever you name it. She's stuck in the office all day. So she got to go on the stagecoach ride, which I was thrilled. But not only that, she got to ride on top of it with the driver. Yeah. Oh. And it was a gorgeous day. And when I saw her up there, my heart just soared because I was like, thank God. Lori gets a moment in the spotlight. She gets the unique experience. And then John handed her the reins and she might have almost crashed the wagon. You but know, she didn't.
But she did it. And that's what counts.
And I wasn't riding in it when that happened, thank goodness. So I was like, that's hilarious.
As someone on the ground, not at risk of death. How funny. Exactly.
How funny. No, but she was in good hands the whole time. But so that was a huge highlight. We had the Great Equestrian Fitness Challenge. That was hilarious and a great highlight.
That made me sweaty. I watched the coverage, and as a 30-week pregnant gal, I was just like, oh, hello, no.
No, it's a workout.
It's hardcore.
It's hardcore. It's a workout. Yeah, I don't think I, maybe in my heyday, back when I was doing barn chores twice a day and full farm girl, but like I have been in an office job way too long to try to do that kind of thing now. And I miss it. Although I do have great arm muscles, and you need to get ready for this, Ashley. My child is in the 99th percentile for height and weight. She has been her whole life.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's at 2.5. She looks 5 and she's very tall. And so I've got great arm muscles from hauling a 40-pound 2-year-old around.
I mean, that's just like a hay bale, really.
Yeah. No, she's just 10 pounds shy of a feed bag. It's
there
fine.
You go.
Although she's getting so long that like when I'm picking her up to put her in something, I'm like, okay, pull your legs up because I'm just not that tall. Oh, and then of course, Cowtown. So what do you know about Cowtown?
I knew that you had a clinician, I believe, in there, and he was showing or teaching people how to work cows. Is that close to the vibe?
Yes. So we had 2 full days of that with multiple clinicians.
Oh, how fun.
And we had cows on site. And so we had Steve Lantvit and Ken McNabb and Larry Keith and a few others out there teaching everybody to work with cows. It got a little Western at times.
It can when you have, you know, 2 animals of different species with 2 different brains.
Yeah. Well, 3 animals with 3 different brains, when you count the rider.
That's true. I wasn't even including my brain.
But Cowtown went great. You know, it just, I'm still smiling, and it's been, almost a month. So it was a great show. And I just want to thank everybody who came and who supported us. And man, save the date for this fall and for next year, because it's going to just keep getting better from here on out. Well, and another one of the highlights at Equine Affair in Ohio this spring was the Adoption Affair. The ASPCA hosted its annual Adoption Affair event for 32 horses from 8 ASPCA Right Horse Adoption Partner organizations, as well as from the Equine Transition and Adoption Center. And I'm thrilled to share that 28 of those horses were adopted at the show, and the remaining 4 horses have adoptions pending. Kaylin Caldwell is the director of the ASPCA Right Horse Program, and because May is Adopt a Horse Month, she's here to tell us all about the impact of the Adoption Affair and maybe convince you to adopt a new horse.
Well, hi, Kaylin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us, and thank you for hosting us just a few weeks ago at Equine Affair.
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago. Sometimes it feels like yesterday, and sometimes it feels like 3 months ago. I can't. Time is a thing.
Oh, well, we're already looking ahead to November, so.
Yes, we are. So you're here today, and I think the listeners are very familiar with you and with ASPCA at this point, because May is Adopt a Horse Month. Yay! You're here so that we can talk about the Adoption Fair. So let's talk a little bit about how the Adoption Affair at Equine Affair went last month. Can you kind of give us the details?
It was a fantastic week. This is the 4th time we've hosted an adoption affair at Equine Affair, and it's just such an incredible audience of horse lovers, horse owners, and enthusiasts that come together for this really magical event. So this year we had 9 different partner organizations bring 32 horses, and this year was really unique in the fact that people were coming to the adoption affair on the first day, ready to meet the horses they wanted to adopt, which is a little bit of a shift. Many years, people come upon the adoption affair and get really excited and end up adopting. But it seems like every year, more and more people are actively planning to seek it out and find their right horse through adoption. So we had an incredible day of adoptions on Thursday. Some really special horses found homes, including a couple senior ponies. We had some just really incredible riding horses, fine homes. And it was just overall a really high note to kick off the adoption affair. And then that continued into Friday. We had several groups that had brought horses that had adopted all of their horses within the first 2 days. So then there was this really incredible spirit of camaraderie because everybody was invested in finding these horses great homes. So those that had adopted out all of their horses helped organizations that still had a few horses available for adoption prepare those horses to meet adopters. They talked to adopters and helped them find the horse they were looking for across the whole barn. So it was just a really powerful and inspiring event to see so many people excited to support adoption and learn more about it. And then all of these adoption organizations working cohesively as one team to find a home for the 32 horses that were there. And it worked. 28 horses found amazing homes through Equine Affair. We saw many happy tears as adopters took the horses home. And on the other side of things, you know, we just saw old adopters coming back, supporting the new adopters, talking to the new potential adopters about their experience adopting last year. So it was just a very special event of people coming together and collaborating and making new connections, all because they love these horses and want to see them find new homes.
Well, and it's so fun. You guys do such a great job each year creating your little, I call it the orange corner. I think of it as the orange aisle in the barns because you guys have all the wonderful branding. You've got the great orange banners and the adoption bell, and it's so warm and happy over there. And the excitement is so palpable. Like, even I remember I came over Wednesday when we were doing setup to talk with you guys and to just sort of, you know, say hi. And it was exciting just being there the day before the event. Like, everybody who was there was genuinely there because they're excited about finding new homes for these horses. And that's contagious. And so I just love that even though the adoption affair started in 2019 and then we had to take the little break due to COVID, it came back strong and people are, like you said, they're thinking ahead now. They're thinking, I want to go there and meet my right horse in the adoption corner. I just think that's such an awesome shift in mentality and thought. And I know I love to see it. And now I know you guys have to love to see that.
Yes. Yeah. Each adoption is such a special moment. The adopters ring what we call the adoption bell. So the whole barn hears that moment and comes around. There's a lot of people that gather to applaud and celebrate. And then we have an orange carpet the horse walks down as their first walk as a newly owned and adopted horse. So it's just a really, like you said, fun, emotional, like a joyful experience for everybody involved. And the onlookers get to be a part of that as well and part of that moment for that horse and that adopter. And it really, I think that just helps year after year continue to build that excitement and that understanding. And that's really, you know, what the program looks to do broadly is make adoption a more popular way of acquiring a horse by making it cool and fun and showing people these amazing horses are here looking for homes.
Absolutely. And you mentioned when you were doing your recap, this is a bit of a rewind, that on Thursday of Equine Affair, two senior ponies found a new home. And I was hoping we could tell that story. So do you want to tell it or do you want me to tell it?
Oh, either way, it's just such a, it still gives me goosebumps.
Well, so I'll start and then you can hop in. So the listeners might not know, or maybe I did mention it during the show when we were recording at Equine Affair, but on Thursday of the show, Chad and Kogi, who are the owners of Equine Affair, and Alyssa and I were doing our walk through the trade show, kind of doing the best booth tour, looking for best booths. And while we were walking along, Chad mentioned to me that he really wanted a miniature pony. And I said, sort of just jokingly, well, I know of two really cute little miniature ponies who are over in the adoption affair. We could stop by over there when we're doing the tour and you could meet them. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And I was just like, okay. And so we go and then we end up in the adoption affair. And then sure enough, Chad, just like a beeline, we come to Kaylin and I mentioned to her. And then he heads over to that stall with Kogi and Kaylin, do you want to take it from there?
I think, yeah, just sparks flew and magic happened. It was a very special pair of senior, somewhat bonded ponies. Cookie and Abrila were sharing a stall and they were available for adoption from West Virginia Horse Network. And it really didn't take long to see that these were the right ponies for Chad and Kogi. And they were actually the first adoption of the year. So that was a very special moment to celebrate both a double adoption, to know that they were staying within the Equine Affair family, Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty exciting way to kick off the festivities.
It was wonderful. And, you know, I think someone mentioned, because Chad was having to do a little fast talking with Kogi, because I don't think she was really thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to adopt two ponies at this event. But she quickly fell in love with them, too. And someone said, this is the first time we've seen a husband talking a wife into adopting. Usually it's the other way around. But I have these pictures on my phone. I took pictures of Kogi while she was meeting the ponies, and she fell in love immediately. So there wasn't too much persuading happening there. She was already hooked, and she knew it. So
It was such a happy moment. And I've seen some updated photos of the ponies settling into their new home, and it looks like they have just, I mean, we all knew they were going to a fantastic home, and they look happier than could have even imagined.
They hit the jackpot. I have asked her about them, and I got to post a picture, and they're having a great time. Chad wanted the ponies to keep his show mare company. And so the show mare fell in love with them too once they got home, and they're just a happy little herd now. So he's got his show mare and the two little senior ponies, and I think it's, you know, a happily ever after love story, which is what you want. So,
oh my gosh, that's so wonderful.
It is. I'm looking forward to just occasionally saying, send me more pictures like through the year, and we'll just keep posting about them on socials, because I get a kick out of it. Like, I was there for that love story starting, and I unintentionally, I think, kickstarted it by saying, well, I know of some ponies that need a home, Chad, if you really want a pony. And he's like, I do.
I can give you all the credit, very deservedly, for right. making a happy match happen.
So, and I think it's so cool that the first adoption just happened to be, because those ponies were 28 and 27. Is that right?
It is, yes. And you know, it was really interesting this year. We had some older ponies. We had a few older horses, and those were the horses and ponies that were adopted first. I think by Friday of Equine Affair, pretty much all of our senior ponies and a couple of the senior horses had found homes.
I love that.
It's pretty powerful.
It really is. We know with dogs and cats, for example, that the shelters and rescue sanctuaries are full of senior dogs and cats. It's why that whenever I adopt a dog or cat, I purposely look for the adults or the seniors, because I feel for them and I want to give them sort of that soft landing. Do you think that more people are thinking that way for horses now? What do you think is the shift towards, oh, let's adopt the senior horses?
I think there was a lot of people who made emotional connections with those horses really early on. So I think that was a big part of it. And those horses have so much wisdom to share. They have done a lot through their lives. They have, you know, had likely a variety of different careers or in a really strong background. So they're great teachers for new horse owners or young horse owners. So that's really what we saw at Equine Affair. There were quite a few people that were getting back into horses, getting into horses, young kids who were looking for their first pony. So the senior horses that had all that wisdom and love and experience to offer were really a great fit for those adopters. But then, you know, on the flip side, we had a variety of different riding horses. We had horses present that were suited for competitive careers. They were recently retired standardbreds off the track. We had horses that were just experienced on the trails, trail masters, and quite a few horses that had all levels of experience under saddle. So adoptable horses, really, we always say, are just as diverse and versatile as a group of horses as any other group of horses you'd find. So it's interesting, yeah, that we had so many of those sweet senior horses adopted, but I really think it's because they are such a great way to get into horses for those first time or returning horse owners. And, you know, adoption is also such a great avenue for that, because they are having a really supportive process of bringing that new horse home and gain a network through that adoption organization. So if they ever need help, if their life circumstances ever change, they have that support network through adoption. So I think that's why we saw so many of these sweet older horses find these wonderful homes where they're going to go and teach someone the ropes or have an in-hand career. I know there was a couple of the ponies that were adopted that were going to go do some obstacles and in-hand trail classes. So it was really exciting to see.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. I love the idea of a senior pony at an adoption affair, and then he goes home with a young girl or a young boy, and suddenly he's got this whole new career. And
and someone to spoil them every single day.
Yeah, it's the best. But you're totally right. It's not just senior ponies who are adoptable. There's all kinds of horses that just end up in bad situations, and then they're lucky enough that a rescue organization or an individual, you know, pulls them out, and then they end up being rehabbed and adoptable, and they can go on and do amazing things with new owners. I know, for example, Kevi Goslin adopted a couple of horses at Equine Affair, and then she brought them back the following year to ride with a pro, to ride in the clinics. I think that's so cool.
Yeah. We saw a lot of past adopters at Equine Affair share with their horses being ridden in the clinics. We had one past adopter from last year stop by and show us the belt buckle her horse had won her. It was her first belt buckle. So yeah, these horses are going out to a variety of different homes and excelling in that home, whatever that person was looking for. So it's really neat to see. And, you know, one thing we found is almost every single horse needs support through an adoption organization due to no fault of their own. It's usually something that happened in the owner's life, like a life change or something that ultimately was why that horse needed that help transitioning through adoption to a new home. So these horses really are incredible horses that can go on to a variety of different lives, whether it's companionship for both horse and human or at a very high competitive level. We have stories of adopted horses winning USEF year-end awards. We have a horse that we have celebrated before that's won between Pinto World and Western Dressage Association. I believe they're up to 15 world championships now. So again, it just shows the versatility of these horses, and we had that versatility represented at Equine Affair. It's really wonderful to see that no matter what someone's looking for, they can hopefully find their right horse through adoption and through the adoption affair.
Exactly. And so, of course, the adoption affair is happening at our events, but then how can people learn about the horses that are up for adoption throughout the year? Is there an opportunity for people to adopt anytime, not just at Equine Affair?
Yes. Well, we'd love to see anybody come to Equine Affair. It is such a great event for so many reasons. And the adoption affair is a great way to ask all the questions and meet a variety of horses in one place. But we also have a website called myrighthorse.org, where all of our adoption partners, so those are organizations we work with very closely, list their available horses. And at any given time, there's between 700 and 1,000 horses throughout the country. So you can search by breed, age, discipline. And then we even have a program that if you find your right horse and it's on a different coast and transport is a barrier, we have a program that can help offset some of that, because we believe the right horse is never in the wrong spot. So encourage anybody who's looking for a horse, or if you know someone looking for a horse, to encourage them to check out myrighthorse.org.
That's perfect. And then the idea of the transport really touches on what you were saying before, is that when you adopt, you're getting that community network of support. You know, you're not all by yourself. Like, for example, I remember buying my second horse, the gentleman trailered him to my barn and dropped him off. And that was it. It was me and the horse and my support system. But like that, you know, there was no, let's see, there was no talking to the owner after that. I was the owner. And so you're saying that when people adopt, though, they have sort of that community network of support where they can go, hey, I'm having trouble, or can I ask you a question? Is that what you're?
Yeah. There's so many benefits through the process. But then once you've adopted, the adoption organizations want to make sure it's a great match for you and your horse. And so if you ever do have questions, they will always be there. If it doesn't end up working out or you need some support, they're also there for that too, because they understand life circumstances change and just want to make sure that both you and the horse have a great experience, or donkey or mule, whoever you ended up adopting. So yes, that support lasts for the horse's lifetime. And hopefully the adopter gains this great network of like-minded, passionate horse people that they can connect with as well.
I think that's such a great added benefit, and one that I hadn't really thought about, but I think it's so key that you want to make sure it stays successful. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes things don't work out. I remember when I adopted my last dog, I already had a cat in the house. And I said, you know, hey, I really want this dog and I want it to work and I want to give her a good home, but I do have a cat and I have to think about his welfare too. And they were like, yes, you can bring the dog back if you need to. Well, fortunately, I didn't have to do that. The dog and the cat got along great. But, you know, it's helpful to know that there is a safety net and someone to talk to if if you're having trouble. So I just love it. And I love what you guys are doing. And happy Adopt a Horse Month.
Thank you. Likewise, happy Adopt a Horse Month. And you know, Equine Affair is one of our wonderful industry partners. And we just thank you for the opportunity to bring the Adoption Affair to this audience. It's been really powerful and really opening minds to equine adoption and changing the lives of horses. We've had multiple stories of people who've been to Equine Affair and then adopt 6 months later, which is likewise fantastic to see the ripple effect of this event and how it's really helping horses throughout the year across the country.
Oh, that's incredible. I love that. Absolutely. It's a long-reaching impact.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. Thank you for everything that you do. And yeah, everybody go check out myrighthorse.org and see if your new best friend might be waiting for you somewhere.
Did you attend Equine Affair in Ohio? If you did, would you mind sharing your opinion with us? We have a post-event survey available on our website where you can give your opinions, tell us the features you enjoyed or didn't enjoy, and make recommendations for future events. If you fill it out before May 31st, you'll be entered to win either a pair of tickets to Equine Affair in Ohio for 2025 or a pair of tickets to Fantasia in 2025. We've got 5 pairs of tickets available for each, so that is 10 chances to win, and all you have to do is fill out a little post-event survey. So we'll put the link in the show notes, and it's also available at equineaffair.com. Jonathan Squibbs owns Valley View Farm in Orwell, Ohio, where he runs the Big Red Shed produce stand along with his wife, Kelsey. They sell produce and locally sourced items, and they also have a miniature petting zoo, which is the cutest thing ever. John brought a miniature horse hitch to Fantasia this spring in a double act with the Whispery Pines Percherons, and they basically blew the roof off the Ohio Expo Center. So we're excited to have John with us on the show to talk about the minis. Well, hi, Jonathan. Welcome to our show.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are doing great. And tell us where you're calling from today.
So I'm at our farm in Orwell, Ohio, where we raise miniature horses, miniature cattle, sheep, and grow produce and also do some hay.
And you've also got chickens, right?
Yep, got all kinds of chickens.
How do you get anything done with everything being so cute?
Next to impossible some days. We have a two-week-old filly right now, so it's even harder to get stuff done.
No kidding.
And that's where we all wish this was a video podcast so we could see the pony.
Yep.
And you also have an adorable little daughter. I saw pictures of her.
Yep. Her name's Raylan. She's 2 years old and 4 months. So,
oh, wow.
She's growing like a weed and she loves riding the ponies and everything else. We take her on rides all the time, just walking her around.
Oh, so your farm's name is Valley View Farm, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And so was this a family farm or did you get in? Tell us how you came to own an incredible farm full of miniature animals.
It actually all started with my grandpa. We've had horses since before I could ever remember. So I've had horses on and off, and he started with Belgians. We went down to Halflingers. So we had Halflingers until I was probably second or third grade. As he did get older, he wanted. At that point, I was just starting to get into it, and he was just kind of trying to get out of it. In between both of us, we had probably 25 or 30. We would breed, and basically just him and I would play around training them. The first team that I ever broke, I was going into fifth grade, and I broke him with a Baylor twine harness, and I just fell in love with it. So then I just kept building and building. I always told him, I'm going to have a 6-horse hitch. He said, no, you're going to lose interest. He said, you're going to find girls, and you're just going to move on. I said, okay, we'll see. So him and I built the first 6 I had together, and they were actually all mismatched. Some were white, some were red, some were paints. And then as we were going, we started to finally fall everything into black. And that's kind of the color I've stuck with and found that I really like. And so we did Fantasia in 2017, I believe. That was the first show that we had ever put together with an all black six. So him and I finally put it all together for that.
And so you've always driven miniature ponies?
Yep. So I've always driven miniature horses, but as the passion, everybody likes draft horses. So one of the neighbors up the road saw that I had the minis and I was just playing around and having fun with them. He stopped in, he had Percherons, and he said, "Do you want to come help me?" I said, "Sure." So went over there, started showing Perchins. And then that's actually what my day job is I work at, it's called Lake Metro Parks Farm Park, and I am in charge of the draft horse program there. So I get to work with horses all day and all night.
So that's the coolest job ever. Yeah. I mean.
So basically what we do is just educate people on what agriculture is. And it's not just strictly horses. It's a little bit everything.
So that's your day job. But then you also have your farm, which is your nights, weekends, anytime they need you job, right?
Every single day of the week.
Every single day.
But there's days it's hard to get things done, but somehow we always find a way to do it.
So that's amazing. So you're okay. So I just have to recap a little bit. Your grandpa started with the horses. He told you, you're going to lose interest as soon as you find girls. You didn't lose interest. You're now married, I see, to a wonderful woman who seems to love all the animals as much as you do.
Yep.
And now you're living your dream life. Did I get that right?
Pretty much. I can't say there's a day that I go by that I'm not happy for the life I live.
Oh, that's incredible. I love it. And so, okay, so you've got your matched set of six miniature black horses that pull your adorable little wagon. Tell us about the wagon. Where did the wagon come from? Did you guys build it?
Yeah, so the wagon we made in like 2015, I had this harebrained idea that we're going to build a wagon because why not? And so I drew out all the blueprints and my dad and I more or less put it together, and my grandpa helped us with that also. But it was a very hard thing to do because you can't just look up blueprints. You can't just go somewhere else and measure it. Like everything you have to measure down and actually set it to the horse's size as well. I'm 6'2", so I want it to be comfortable for me also. So there's a lot that went to play in it beyond just putting it together.
So, okay, so you're 6'2", and you started with Belgians and then Halflingers, and then you wanted to go even smaller. Did you just like the long and the short of it, or like, why minis?
Honestly, because that's what my grandpa had when I was at the age where I could finally start doing stuff on my own. And that's kind of what I took off with. If we had bigger horses, I probably would have stuck with them too. I don't know. It just, and plus, I like them. I like the minis now because I have them all, so why not just keep going with them?
I like your attitude. Now, so do you ever hurt your back having to? Because I've seen pictures. Our photographer got great pictures of you basically crouching down with your minis to harness them before Fantasia. So does it ever hurt your back?
Yes, it does. Quite often. But that's all right, though, as long as you like what you're doing.
Well, absolutely. And you clearly hate it. Like, it's the worst thing you've ever done.
Exactly. I don't want to do it anymore.
So for our listeners who didn't see it, and if you didn't see it, you'll probably have a chance to see it in Massachusetts. But basically, Jonathan brought his adorable six black miniature horse hitch and wagon to Equine Affair, and then did a double act with the Whispery Pines Percherons. So we had the massive black horses, and then we had the itty bitty tiny black horses, and they were all in the ring together, and it was the most adorable thing I have ever seen. I think the roof came off the Ohio Expo Center when you guys came in. What did that feel like for you?
It's one of the feelings that you almost really explain. Before you go in, you feel like you're going to throw up because you got all these people looking at you. And then once you hit the arena, your stomach kind of falls out and then you just do what you're good at.
I love it. Just like with a horse show, right? Like, exactly. You know, you feel like you're going to throw up and then you just go do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you just black out and then next thing you know, you're out of the arena and it's done.
Pretty much. And so the two that I had in the lead, that was their first ever like big experience.
No.
They had both been to the county fairs. They had both been to like little things, but never something to that caliber. So it would have been the horse in the right lead. He is actually one of my friend's horses. My mare, the one that had the baby, I bred her before we were knew we were going to be going to Fantasia. So,
oh,
she was due during Fantasia.
You had a 7-horse hitch, right?
Pretty much. So we pulled her out, and right. I borrowed this horse from one of my friends. And here's the real kicker. He's actually gray. We dyed him so he matched the rest of them when he went in.
No, really?
Every one of them were black on purpose.
That's showbiz, baby.
But I've never tied a horse before, but I figured, you know what? Let's give it a shot. And so it worked.
Hey, you fooled me. I didn't see a gray. I saw black horses. So it worked.
I brought him home the next day. I wanted to see how well the dye works. So I clipped off all his long hair. They're still gray underneath.
Oh. He probably felt very distinguished.
Exactly. The lady that come and help me, her name's Darlene. She sent him down to me and I said, I'm going to dye him black for this. She said, okay, go for it. But she's like, I'm going to be able to tell him apart. We got in the trailer. She hauled him down for me. She looked in the trailer. She's like, where's my horse?
Oh. I said,
figure out which one it is. So I must have did an all right job.
You must have. That's amazing. I can say I've never heard of anyone dying a horse. Have you heard of that, Ashley?
No, but I'm here for it. Listen, you got to do what you got to do for the fans.
It's actually very common in the draft horse world.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it.
Yep.
Now, you know what? Now, next time I'm with the Whispery Pines Percherons, though, I'm going to be like, did you dye these black? Are they really black, Kelly?
I think they do, but I know some people that do.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to see your roots. We need to see. We want proof. Now we're in the know. It's dangerous.
Yep,
yeah. Oh, that's incredible. Oh, gosh. Do you have questions for him, Ashley? I'm just still mind blown by the dye job.
You know, I did see this video multiple times. It came across my feed, and I mean, I would go so far as to call it viral. Allison, is it true we have nearly 1 million views on Instagram?
Yes. So, Jonathan, I took a video. I happened to be outside during, I want to say, the Friday night Fantasia. And it was after you and the Percherons had left the arena. And you're trotting from the Coliseum to the barn. And I just whipped out my phone and I took a video, short, like 6, 7, 8 seconds. And it's adorable. You know, you hear the little tiny clip clops and the jingling and the harness and everything. And I put that on our Instagram, on our Equine Affair Instagram, like I think a couple weeks later. Jonathan, it's at over 800,000 views.
That's awesome.
You are famous.
Thank you.
You and your faux black miniature horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't put that in there, but but no, it's climbing every day, and it's actually, I'm driving my husband crazy because I'll just shout out a random number. I'll be like, it's at 175. It's at 475. It's at 550. And he's just like, yay, every time, because, you know, it makes me happy. But yeah, over 800,000 views. You're viral. It's the craziest thing.
And it's the content that the world needs, you know?
Yeah.
100%. They didn't know they needed it. That's until right. You brought it to them.
There's not many people that have minis that they hitch together like that. Like, there's very few you can actually find. I mean, I know of 2, maybe 3 other ones in the country that can even do that kind of stuff.
Well, and so how did you, I guess let's talk about, how do you train them to do that?
So just being young and oblivious, I guess. I didn't really know what I was doing when I first started. I just kind of wung it and figured, I'll figure it out at some point. So I, more or less, all of them were basically two-year-olds when I got them. None of them, pretty much untouched in a way, broke the lead, that's about it. And started putting them together, and I think I've piled them up more than I could tell you I went straight. But then actually, so Sam Rettinger from Whispery Pine Perchins only lives short, like just north of us a little ways. So when I started helping the draft horse world, that's when I really kind of started to figure it out, because I was helping someone else, but Sam was also there all along, like, hey, why don't you try this? This might work a little better. And at that point, I would have been like 14, 15. So very impressionative. And like, Sam was a role model. Like, I looked up to him because he does a phenomenal job. So I took in just some of the stuff he did and started implementing it and basically made my own and kind of learned from books and reading and watching videos, going to horse sales, just trying to figure it out because I didn't know no better.
We love your honesty and attitude, John. And may I say, spoken like a true horseman, because yeah. I am not convinced that any of us fully know what we're doing all the time. You got to start somewhere. And I just love your attitude towards all of this. It is so refreshing.
I think I just wung it is my new new catchphrase. Like, anytime anyone asks me how did I start something, I'll say, oh, I just wung it, like Jonathan Squibbs. That's all. He's famous. So
the viral sensation, Jonathan Squibbs.
Well, and I love that I didn't know that Sam helped you and kind of mentored you in that either. So like how even cooler then that you guys are in the double act now. So like you get to drive with him, and that's so cool. What a great story.
Yeah, they're awesome people. I mean, I can't say anything bad about them.
Nope, you can't. They're amazing. All right, well, so John, how can people learn more about your farm or come visit your farm? Because you've got a produce stand and a miniature petting zoo. And so like you have people out there, right?
Yeah. Yep. So you can follow us on Facebook. It's at Valley View Farm Orwell. Basically, like this time of year, a lot of the stuff is produce based just because that's where we get all the money to do all the extra stuff. So we focus on that this time of year. In the fall, we do open up the farm, and we sell pumpkins and everything like that. We have just a small fun day for people to come out and visit everything. We give wagon rides with the horses and just kind of try to make it a fun day for everybody. And like, if anybody ever wants to stop in or come see us, you can just, my phone number's on the Facebook, on our Facebook page, also our email. You can email us and set something up, and we'd be more than willing to have anybody come out and take a look and walk around and even teach some people some stuff if they want.
And then you don't have to rely on winging it. You can learn from John Squibbs.
Yes,
exactly.
He wung it, so you don't have to.
Oh my gosh, we need a shirt.
The greatest slogan ever.
We need merchandise ASAP.
Oh yes, you can start selling that in the produce stand too. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for Jonathan. And we will definitely link to Valley View Farm on Facebook in our show notes. And people can hopefully come out and check out your ponies and buy some produce. And now I'm trying to plan a trip to Orwell for the fall so I can buy pumpkins there, because that sounds incredible. So thanks so much.
If you missed Equine Affair in Ohio, or you're closer to the Northeast than the Midwest, we recommend saving the date for Equine Affair in Massachusetts. We'll be at Eastern States Exposition in West Springfield, Massachusetts on November 7th to 10th, 2024, with everything you love, plus some new surprises that we've got cooking up at the office. Tickets go on sale July 10th, but go ahead and mark your calendars. Plus, a little horse told me that John and his hitch of miniature horses will be joining us in Massachusetts too. So, if you want to see the cutest thing ever, you gotta join us in Massachusetts. You can learn more about Equine Affair at our website, equineaffair.com, our Facebook page, or on our YouTube channel. You can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook too. Just search Horses in the Morning.